Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yes, yay! Finally.
There you go.
The hotline's jacked.
Yeah, there's a hotline, a little bus, but it was hanging up on me. Well, you did answer that first time I was there, but it just kept hanging up when I called back. It was busy.
What the hell?
Not your fault. Your fault.
Very good. Glad to have you.
Yeah, I know they did some stuff where Calta can take calls at his home studio now. Maybe that kind of jacked up our hotline reception. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Who knows?
You're here. All good.
Hey, man, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. That's what y'all were talking about. Yeah, it's been a while. You know why? It's because the movies literally died after Nope. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, it did. We had Nope. I think that was the last big one everyone's focused on. And then it immediately got quiet. Like, I know Bullet Train's done all right. Like, that's done okay. And one of the better movies that came out was actually on Hulu, and that was Prey, was the new Predator film. So that probably should have been in theaters, but it wasn't. Good for Hulu, because it's been a really big hit for them. But also, the issue was is that in the end of July, we were supposed to get Black Adam with The Rock. And when they moved it to October, no one came up and took its place, really. Like, not a big tentpole type last excitement, last hurrah of the summer. So it got real, real quiet after Nope, and that was it. Although Top Gun just keeps making money, which just blows me away, because you can just watch it on Paramount Plus now if you want.
Yeah, but like you said, that's one of those movies that you need to see at the theater, and probably IMAX if you're going to do it. And I get it. I think the problem is, Tim, I'm not saying that, I'm speaking for everybody, but I think a lot of people probably feel the way I do when it comes to movies. I don't, with all the streaming options we have and how comfortable we have our at-home experiences now, I don't like to go to the movies unless it's a real good movie. Like, I want to, obviously I went to see Top Gun as soon as I possibly could. I'll go to see a Marvel movie, and not even every Marvel movie. I'm going to wait for Thor to come out to stream. Like, I didn't go to see it, even though I know it's probably a pretty good movie. But of course, if it's a Spider-Man or if it's an Avengers, I'm going to go see that. But I think a lot of people feel that way. They're just like, yeah, Bullet Train looked cool. The trailer looks cool. But is it cool enough for me to go spend $75 after I get popcorn and a drink or do I just want to wait for it to come out on a stream?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem this movie Beast is going to run into. I mean, sooner or later, it's going to be on the Peacock. I probably think, sooner rather than later than some of the films. Like, even Black Phone's on the Peacock now, and that's a film that did well this summer. It was a small horror film, but did really well, and now is on the Peacock. So you're starting to see them, kind of flex that universal connection they have with them, with those films, to kind of do what Paramount Plus is doing with the 45 days, after. But as far as spending money to see Beast, or as I like to call it, Idris Elba fights a lion, because that's how everyone has described it to me when they've asked about it. It's rated R. So if you're a rated R movie and you're doing a story about a crazy lion that's hunting you down and got you trapped in the car, I think you should take some more risks. And maybe
there should be a sex scene.
Well, I don't know if we need a sex scene, but definitely the lion mauling. And see, at times I think this movie, you can tell it was made on the cheap. So the times where you could really take advantage of that R rating, they don't show it. Because I think, honestly, they were just probably trying to keep the budget down, which I get, But at the same time, if you want to be a horror movie, be a horror movie. And at times, I think it almost wants to be a family drama. So it gets hung in the middle. And I will say, too, that at times the special effects aren't that great. And
oh boy,
if you're
I was worried
have
about that.
An animal movie, with a big animal, you need to make sure the effects are good. And listen, I love kind of animal horror movies. I mean, my favorite movie is Jaws. I wouldn't compare Jaws to this, but I would say something more in the line of Crawl. I don't know if you ever saw Crawl a couple years ago with the alligators in the house during the hurricane.
It was fun.
Yeah, and that takes advantage of kind of being more edgier, being more scarier. you know, I joke around at the same time, like, I liked Arachnophobia back in the day. I thought Arachnophobia was a pretty good horror comedy.
Or what about Cujo? I loved Cujo as a kid.
Cujo's terrifying.
Yes.
St. Bernard with rabies. And see, that's the thing. A lion hunting you down when you don't have water, you don't really have a gun, you're in the middle of nowhere in Africa. I mean, take some risks, take some chances. And I just don't think it does this. Is it a bad movie? No. It's not a bad movie. It's just kind of a movie. Just because I was like, you know, I was showing up for some camp. And, showing up for some kind of goofiness. That's what I want in this. You know, like, I know people love Anaconda. It's not one of my favorite movies. But there's, you know, people who love Anaconda because it's campy and it's silly and it's, you know, gross and weird in some ways. But it's more of like a Saturday matinee flick. That's what I wanted out of this in some ways. And at times they just kind of take themselves too seriously and kind of forget what everyone's showing up for. And that's, you know, a lion eating people and Idris Elba fighting a lion. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, so, I love Idris Elba. You don't think this is going to tarnish his legacy at all, do you?
No, I mean, he does everything he can to make it worth it. And Idris is a great actor. I mean, he's good in Suicide Squad. I mean, he's one of those guys that you can give him something crappy, and he's just got a presence about himself that he can carry it. And I know they want to go young with James Bond, but I still say, like, are you sure you just don't want to maybe consider Idris as James Bond? You know, they've always talked about switching it up and, you know, being diverse. And I actually liked it, like I said last time around with Lashana Lynch, how she played 007. I didn't think it was forced. I thought they did it really well, how they did it. But if they wanted to get diverse, I mean, I just look at Idris. I'm like, dude, he's a smooth dude, man. That's what you want in James Bond. But they want to go younger, from what I hear.
I don't know, man. I'll take Stringer Bell as James Bond any day of the week. That's my guy.
Yeah, it's crazy to think how long Idris has been around. I feel like, really, it's only been like the past, I know it sounds crazy, like 4 or 5 years where like people have really taken notice of him. And I feel like he's been around way longer than that. And I guess it goes back to that whole thing with The Wire, that no one watched The Wire the first time around. I'm guilty of that. I'm very guilty of that.
I watched it 5 years ago. I know.
Yeah. So I don't think people realize how great he was back then. But my wife, she'll yell at you and be like, oh, my gosh, Luther's awesome. Because that's, you know, BBC show he's involved with. Right. He's great in it. But, you know, and obviously, you know, pretty, you know, as far as side characters go, pretty good role in the Marvel Universe as Heimdall. You know, he had a pretty good stretch with that, you know, being involved. So. You know, and then obviously the Suicide Squad. And I think they're going to do more stuff with him. When you've got someone like that, you're going to want to keep him more involved. But as far as this weekend goes, I mean, yeah, if you want to go spend a matinee, just get out to the movies, sure. I mean, if you want to take like your teenage son, you know, that's maybe only 12 or 13, you're worried about it being too gory or anything, it's not. So, I mean, it is, I hate to use this phrase, it is what it is. It's, you know, just kind of a campy popcorn type flick where there's a lion hunting them down. Just don't expect Jaws.
Right. Well, you know, the bar is pretty high there, even though, you know, it was done so long ago. You know, what was it, 1975 is it, Jaws?
Yeah.
And
but still it's still, at the end of the day, it's a big animal hunting people down.
And for something, you know, 47 years old, special effects are still pretty good. Not bad.
Yeah. You know, every once in a while, you know, I'll look at it and people are like, yeah, you can see the shark. I'm like, guys, realize it's 1975. Like, right. They're doing everything with practical effects. And they created the summer blockbuster with that mechanical shark. So I think they were doing good for what it was. You know, that's about to be re-released in IMAX, like I think on the 1st of September. Ooh. I'm actually going to go try to find a way to see it, like during that stretch. I do want to see it in IMAX and see what it's like. I've seen it on the big screen a couple times, but I am interested to try to check it out on IMAX. I remember a few years ago they did the Jurassic Park 3D upgrade, and I actually got a screen for that and went and saw it. That was a lot of fun. It, you know, that was a movie meant for the 3D upgrade. Not everything needed to be 3D back then. But when they did that upgrade, I'm like, you know, this one works. And the part of me thinks those big scenes just out in the water and everything else, that Jaws would be pretty cool to see on the big IMAX like that, especially since they've taken the time to convert it.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you've dabbled at all in the new VR realm, but for a few months now, I've had an Oculus headset. And they're starting to do movies in VR now, and that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. If you've heard any buzz around that, if they're planning on doing any like major movies and in the VR platform, because I could see being immersed in a major Hollywood movie could be unbelievable. And they're predicting VR is going to get more and more the quality is going to get better and better. They're looking, you know, into augmented reality in the next few years. But the VR is pretty good. I did a trailer for the new It movie. I guess it's coming out, I guess, September and October, I guess. But the trailer was basically just me on a raft going through the sewer with Pennywise jumping around, you know, and it's in stereo. So he's like yelling in my left ear. He's whispering in my right ear. He's all around me. And I'm in a sewer, and when you're wearing a headset, you're in there. And it was the scariest damn thing ever, and it was a 5-minute trailer. And all I can imagine was being a whole movie, whether it's an action movie like Top Gun, where you feel like you're in the plane with them, or if it's a horror movie where you feel like you're in the same, you know, house with Michael Myers. I can't even imagine. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, and you guys can probably remember, the old channel side IMAX, and then obviously the IMAX dome at Mosey, they were really curved and like domed,
right.
And like especially the one at channel side. It was supposed to be like that immersive feeling. And then people kind of changed because the view, you know, you sat in certain places, the aspect ratio, and then it just went to just big screen IMAX. But I think if you ever saw one that would maybe converted after the fact, I would probably say Avatar, the Way to the Water, just because of what Cameron wants to do with every movie he makes. He wants to kind of break through with something new, almost invent something new in filmmaking. And that would be one with, like you said, an immersive world that I think, yeah, maybe one of these Avatar sequels over the next couple of years, we could see something like that. And, you know, maybe even Disney jumps into it with Marvel. We'll see. You know, they seem to be pretty happy with what they're streaming and everything else, but... you have to get the Oculus set in everybody's hands, though. That's the issue, Johnny. You have one,
right.
But like, I think for every 7 or 8 people, you know, they probably don't have them. I'd probably say, I mean, Will, you may agree with me. I'd probably say 1 in every 20 people may have one. It could be higher than that, wouldn't you think? I mean, I don't know a lot of people. I do know people that have them, but I don't know a lot of people that have them. It's the same thing with PlayStation 5. Like, you can get a controller, you just can't get the system. So to do something like that and to undertake it, you need to make sure there's an audience there that is willing to accept it. And still, that we don't have VRs now, doing something like this, that could get people doing it. Remember, there wasn't 3D movies until Avatar. Then all of a sudden, everything was 3D, and they burned it out, pretty much.
Right.
You know, so, but I could see that being one. But, yeah, you know, it's going to eventually go that route. I mean, it is. I mean, we're already getting immersive in our homes, you know, theaters, and, you know, the lights will change color depending on which... you know, you're watching, so we're getting there, but I just don't think it's there yet because you need to make sure everyone's got Oculus and that, or in some type of VR. We're just not even close to being there yet.
True that. Now, talking about the Marvel Universe, you have you've checked out the latest. I have not seen any of it. I didn't even know it was this close to being released, but I did see a little snippet, like a little mini trailer for She-Hulk. You've seen 4 episodes, right?
4 episodes. She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. And it does play like a 2000 lawyer sitcom. But I think it works. Now, I'm going to give you some background here. So I read Secret Wars when I was a kid. And then she goes into the Fantastic Four after Secret Wars. And then she gets her own comic, The Sensational She-Hulk. That's what I read. I'm biased. I did love this character because she was involved in one of my favorite comics and then got her own thing. And in that comic, she broke the fourth wall, kind of knew she was living in a comic book. It was more funny and gags. She would talk to the audience. And they do the same thing here in the 4 episodes. And, I mean, they make fun of themselves. They make fun of the MCU. They make fun of how people will react. Like, she'll say certain things like, oh, Twitter's going to go crazy over this. You know, like, kind of how it is. And, you know, even the men are already review bombing it. I bet you they get called out, too, because people are already review bombing it. I'm like, gosh, come on. Like, and people are saying, oh, we're going to be She-Hulk. I'm like, you guys know that's what she was always called, right?
Right,
they didn't make this up because they're woke now. That's what she was called. And she even makes jokes about that. Like, I didn't come up with it. You know, people named it. But as far as the show goes, highly entertaining. I mean, Moon Knight was weird. But the biggest thing about Moon Knight, there wasn't enough Moon Knight. You get a lot of She-Hulk right off the bat. And you get a lot of Bruce Banner in the first episode right off the bat. So the Hulk's involved. Then in the other episodes, from the 4 I saw, there's a lot of people in and out of the MCU in these episodes. And I've heard it's going to be even more. I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. Tim Roth is back as the Abomination. And I'm all about Tim Roth being back. I mean, I'm a huge Pulp Fiction fan. I don't think people realize how much of a great villain Tim Roth was in, like, the late 90s. In films
right.
Like, you know, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Rob Roy. I mean, Tim Roth is great. And he plays, reprises his role as Abomination. Also, Wong is in it a lot. He's in it a lot. And we've seen stills that Charlie Cox is going to be back as Daredevil in this series. So I think we're going to get a little bit more out of him than we did in Spider-Man No Way Home. I am all about getting Charlie Cox and Daredevil back involved in the mix. He's too cool of a character to have the rights to sit on the sidelines. Plus, it's not like you're running from anything because his Netflix series was great.
It was my favorite. Like, it was hands down my favorite. It was the most violent. Yeah. It was the most entertaining. I'm glad that it's getting picked up by Disney Plus because I thought that was really, really good. Every season was fantastic.
Listen, the other thing too about this show being a little weird and offbeat. Listen, I love WandaVision, but WandaVision is weird and it's a total mystery. This show, I'm not trying to mean this in a bad way, but it's like kooky in a way. You know, like
I like that
it breaks the fourth wall, and it's funny. You know, and she's great. Tatiana Maslany, she was in Orphan Black, which I'll be honest, I've never watched, but people go crazy for that and said, you know, she's going to be amazing in this. She's a great actress. She was great in that. I mean, she is awesome in this as Jennifer Walters because she just kind of wants to live a regular life. And he's kind of being like, no, you're stuck being a superhero now. That's just the way it is. And so it's a lot about her struggle. But the idea of this being a little different, also breaking the fourth wall, letting the audience in on the joke. Everybody out there can get all worked up over this and everything else. But guys, I hate to break this to you. This is how we get Deadpool back in the MCU with Disney. I totally think they're testing some things out because they can't let that property, just like Daredevil, you can't let that character sit there. You can't. Like, I mean, there's too much money to be made. There's too much product to be sold, which Disney wants to do. And I think this may be their kind of testing the waters with themselves because I think She-Hulk is going to be a little bit more edgier. You know, a little bit. There are some of the content they talk about in the first episode is pretty funny about Steve Rogers' sexual experiences over the years. So, I mean, I can tell they're going to get a little edgier with some things, but I do think with them doing this project, this may help them get more comfortable with what they're going to need to do with Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool, because one way or another, you got to get that guy back in the mix. You have to. Yeah, I don't care if it's not in every MCU movie, even if it's just solo movies in another multiverse, whatever. But we've kind of been sitting a long time since Deadpool 2, and we need more of that because everyone loves that character.
Amen. See, I'm excited now because I like a little humor in my superhero stuff. I that's one of the reasons I like Hulk as a character because he's always got there's always something funny, you know, with him, whether when he starts smashing, who's the guy? I'm brain farting.
Thor's
brother.
Loki.
Yeah. When he just starts smashing him all over the place, and it's always really, really funny. He pops up and does something like that, or in the Avengers, just these little quips and stuff makes him a lot more interesting. Of course, the Iron Man character, you know, always had some funny stuff with all.